If you were a biologist, what are the essentials of life? You might ask him. He'd answer air, food, water, light. If you were to ask a nutritionist, what are the essentials of life? She'd probably give you a list of vitamins and minerals that you need. But the thing is that you're more than just a body. You're a life that has a spiritual element to it that is just as essential to life as air, water, and food that you need for your body. In fact, without these, you're not living, you're just existing. You're not thriving, you're just surviving. And today I want us to look at five essentials for a balanced life. What helps us live effectively today? And I want to give an overview of these five essentials that we're going to be looking at in the next several weeks. Father, as we look to your word, we pray that you will give us wisdom and understanding, that you will help us, dear Father, to be able to apply these truths in our lives as your Spirit speaks through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing we need if we are to live effectively is power to live on. Power to live on. You need that because there are a lot of things in life that drain your energy and your stamina and your strength. Major changes in your life can rob you of energy. Stress can rob your vitality. Conflict can drain your life of energy. Frustration can suck your stamina dry. And everyday work can sap your life of strength. You're working longer than you used to. Studies that have been done have shown that we are working probably 11 or 12 hours more than they were 25 years ago in an average week. It's no wonder we're tired. Where do you get the energy and the stamina and the power to live on? How do you keep going when you feel like giving up? People try different things. They tried fads and therapies and pills and things like that. But the real secret of power to live on is focus on God. Focus on God. The more you focus on God, the more power you will have for living. God has all of the power that you and I need. Just look at nature. His power is an evidence of everywhere that we would look. The Bible says nothing is impossible for God. God's power is available to you. But you get it by focusing on God Himself. Get your focus off your problems and focus on God. Focus on Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 30 and 31, we read, "Even youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." God has all the power you need. The more you focus on God and spend daily time with Him, the more you plug into His power. The word in the Bible for focusing on God is the word worship. Worship. Worship is simply focusing on God. Some people think worship is a ritual. It's not. Some people think it's a ceremony. Worship is not a ceremony. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Worship is simply focusing on God, wherever you are, at whatever time of the day it is. How do you worship? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." What's he saying there? He says, quiet yourself. drop the distractions, center in on God and His greatness. His love is what He wants to perform in your life. Center on what it is He wants to do. The more you focus on God, the more you're going to find yourself restored and renewed and refreshed on a daily basis. Now, some of you feel fatigued today. You've gone through the holidays, and for some people, that means a lot of stress. You feel like the problems, the pressures, the stress in your life is at flood stage right now, and it's rising. Pause and think about God. God's power comes through to you as you worship Him, as you focus your attention on Him from your heart. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that rolled the stone from the tomb so people could see that Christ was risen, that same power is available to you and to me. If you don't have power to live on, you're not going to make it through 2020. That's your greatest need. But you need more than that, not just power to live on. You need people to live with. People to live with. The Bible calls it fellowship. You were made for fellowship. You need the power of God in your life, but you also need people around you to support you, to encourage you, and to fellowship with. The Bible tells us that when God made Adam, He put him in a perfect environment. There were no problems, there was no pressure, there was no pain, yet God looked down at Adam in perfect surroundings and He said essentially, it's not good enough. There's something missing. And in Genesis 2:18, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not God's will for you to be lonely. You were made for relationships. It's not whether you are married or not. It's not whether you're young or you're old. You were made for other people, for relationships with them. And God says you need people to live with, not just power to live on. In a study, researchers discovered that if you isolate yourself from other people, if you have only acquaintances and no friends, no close ties with other people, you are three times more likely to die an earlier death. You are four times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. And you are five times more likely to be clinically depressed. You were made for relationships. The Bible says we're supposed to help one another. You know, we're not supposed to go through life as lone rangers. And you younger people are saying, what's that? The lone ranger even wasn't alone. He had Tonto. But we're not supposed to be going through life alone. You're supposed to have people that you depend on, close friends. The Bible calls it fellowship. And Ecclesiastes 4 says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. The next verse says, if you don't have anybody to help you up, when you're all alone, pity on you. We need people to live with. Fortunately, God designed a custom-made support network just for you and for me. It's called the church. Church is not a place you go to or an event you attend. Church is a family God meant you to be a part of and involved with. You don't go to church. You're a part of a church. He wants you to have relationships, connections, and fellowship with God's family. When you get busy, the first thing that gets shortchanged in your life are relationships. The first relationship that gets hurt when you get busy is your relationship with God. You start thinking, I just don't have time to read my Bible today. I just don't have time to be focused on what Pastor just talked about. God seems to get shortchanged in our relationships, first of all. And then we start cutting our relationships with other believers. I don't have time to be a part of a small group. I don't have time to come every weekend to worship. If this is the case with you, you're too busy. You're busier than God meant you to be. Your priorities are all out of whack. And when we start skimping on relationships, it always comes back to hurt you. You're going to get hurt, and you'll probably hurt those closest to you if you neglect your relationships. The Bible warns about this in Hebrews 10:25, where it commands us, let us not neglect our meeting together. Why is that? It's because you need it and I need it. It's not just what you hear and learn. It's the relationships that you build at these gatherings that we come together with. There's some things that you need to settle in your life. One is to put relationships before things. You need to put people before personal entertainment. The first relationship is the one that you have with God. Then those relationships with your family, and then the people in your church family. Because when the inevitable crisis comes in your life, and it will come, if it hasn't already, you have a people network to support you. A network already in place to hold you up. There will be people who will be able to walk with you through a crisis. But there's a third essential you're going to need to live effectively with today. And that's you need principles to live by. Principles to live by. You need power to live on, and you need people to live with, but we need principles to live by. You need a clearly thought out philosophy of life. You need a moral foundation. You need a code of conduct, personal convictions, which give you stability when everything else comes unglued. The Bible says you were created for a relationship with God. That's why we're here on earth. God wants you to live with Him in eternity by first starting a relationship with Him here on earth. Every principle you need for life is in the Bible. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 19 in the Living Bible paraphrase, I am a pilgrim here on earth. That means you're just passing through. That's what a pilgrim is. I need a map, and your commands are my chart and my guide. Everything you need is here. Principles to build your life on and to live by. They're right here. But here's the problem. God's principles for living are usually the opposite of what we know as conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom. Figure out the popular thing to do, and it's almost always the wrong thing to do, because God's principles for living regarding time management, regarding God's principles for intimacy and relationships, and God's principles about how you use your money are often the exact opposite of what popular culture tells you. Pop culture almost always gets it wrong. Pop culture says, get all you can, get it as fast as you can, and try to outdo everybody else. God says the way to be happy is to give your life away. To give your life away. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you." Luke 12:15, he says, "A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses." Learn to give, learn to share, because happiness comes from being generous, from being giving. Settle in your mind the principles that you're going to live on. What are the statements, the values that you're going to hold up? Jesus told a story when he said there were two guys who went out to build homes. One built his home on shifting sand, and when the storms came along that are inevitable in life, and the wind and the rain battered it, it fell apart because it had no solid foundation. And then he told about the wise person who built his house on a solid foundation of rock. And when the wind storms blew, it remained because it had a stable, solid foundation. You need principles to live on, because Jesus said, "Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like the wise man who built his house on the rock." We need principles to live by, God's principles. Be wholly dedicated to God's principles. Be fully committed to God's word and his way of life. Be totally sold out to what he wants for your life. There's a fourth essential to be all that God wants you to be. You need a plan to live out. A plan to live out. You need an outlet for expressing the talents and abilities that God has given you. You need a plan and a place where you can make a contribution with your life, with your talents, with your abilities. You need a plan for how God is going to use you to make your neighborhood and your community and this world a better place. It boils down to two options. Two options. Number one is you can live your life by design, or you can live your life by default. By design or by default. You can intentionally make the most of what God has given you, or you can waste it, you can blow it, you can drift through life without a plan, wasting what God has given to you. The good news is that God does have a plan for your life. Life does not make sense until you understand that you were made by God and for God. God made you for himself. Your life will not make sense until you understand that. So how do you know God's plan for your life? How do you know his place for you in this world? How do you know your niche? How do you know what you're supposed to give back? What are you supposed to do with your life? I can say it in one word. God's plan for your life is service. Service. It's in serving him. And through that, to serve other people. Service. Notice Ephesians 2:10 where it says, "We are God's workmanship." In other words, God has made us what we are. You are who you are and what you are because God intended that. God has a plan that only you can fulfill. So you may not like it. You may say, "I wish I looked like that person," or "I wish they had their talents." No, God wants you to be you. He wants you to fulfill the role he made you for. That's where fulfillment and meaning and significance comes from. God made us what we are. It says, in Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works. God made you to serve him and to serve others. If you live your life for yourself, you've missed the plan that you were made for. and you're not really living, you're just existing. God did not mean for you to just live for yourself. He wants you to give something back, to make an impact on the world in the way that's based on how He made you. So how do I know God's plan for my life? I look at the Bible. The Bible says, serve Him. It says, God made us to do good works which God planned in advance in our lives. Before you were born, God planned how you can make an impact on the world. How do you know what God wants me to do? How do I know how He wants me to serve? I look at the way God wired me. He has uniquely shaped you for a particular reason. A few years ago, I used the acrostic SHAPE. In fact, there's a whole plan that's been put together to help people to identify their shape as far as, and in fact, back in the pastor's office here, I noticed that this church had done this a few years ago. Five things that shape you, that make you. S stands for your spiritual gifts, what God has given to you as a spiritual gift. Secondly, your heart's desires. What are the things that really, really cause you to get excited? Your heart's desires. Your abilities. Your personality. Your experiences. All these five things shape you and make you you. When you understand how God has shaped you, then you'll know your niche in life. You will know that what you should be doing to invest your life. And here's the good news. Your shape is unique. There is no one else in the world that's shaped exactly like you. God made you uniquely you. Your heart, your ability, your personality, your experiences, all those things, because He has a unique contribution that He wants for you to make in this world. But you'll miss that if you start copying other people. Start thinking that you have to be like so-and-so. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service to God, but it is the same Lord that we are serving. God uses us all, but He uses us in many different ways. And then fifth, you need a purpose to live for. A purpose to live for. Every one of us needs to know that our life matters. You need to feel like you're not just taking up space, you're not just using up resources, that your life really, really counts. That you not only have a plan to live out, but you have a purpose to live for. In fact, if you don't understand your purpose, life just will not make sense. Sadly, most people never discover God's purpose for their lives. Most people don't know God, and they just exist. Pascal wrote, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the human heart." You were made to have God at the center of your life. If God isn't number one at the center of your life, then you're going to try to cram something else in there, something that's a poor second-class substitute, and you are ultimately going to be very disappointed. If you give first-class allegiance to a second-class cause, you're going to feel betrayed. Nothing can take the place of God in your life. When you try to fill that God-shaped hole with something else instead of God, the substitute becomes your God. But with God number one in your life, everything else will fall in its proper place and gets the balance and the attention that it needs. Don't let anything else be the God in your life. Any person, any dream, any activity, whatever. The purpose of life is more than being entertained. It is more than just acquiring things that you're going to leave behind when you die anyway. The purpose of life is more than just retiring. That's a poor substitute for God's purpose for your life. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to retire, but when you retire, that gives you an opportunity to serve God even more. And I've had several friends who retired from their jobs and from their positions, and they were busier after they retired than they were before, and feeling more and more fulfilled. You were made for a purpose, and God wants you to discover that purpose. In this series, we're going to uncover God's purpose for your life. The Apostle Paul clearly knew his purpose. In Acts 20 and verse 24, he said, "The most important thing in life is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace." God had a mission for Paul. God has a life mission, a life purpose that he intends for you to fulfill while you're here on earth. Part of our job here is to help us understand that. These are five essentials in life, and in this series, we're going to go in depth in each one of these. We're going to look at how you draw on God's power, how to tap into God's energy and his power. We're going to look at how to draw on healthy relationships that support you. We're going to look at how to build your life on unchanging principles that last, that God has given us in his word. And we're going to look at how to make the most of the talents that God has given you. And then how to find and fulfill the purpose that you were put on this planet for. But today, let me close by giving you the very first secret. The secret to getting to know God personally, you must have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You must get connected to God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are here to help you to have power to live on, people to live with, principles to live by, a plan to live out, and a purpose to live for. Matthew 6:33 says, "The thing that you should want most," and you might on your insert circle those words, "want most," is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. Then all these other things you need will be given to you. And 2 Peter 1:3 says, "Jesus has the power of God, and his power has given us everything we need to live." That's all the essentials of life, and to serve God. And we have these things because we know him. It starts by getting to know Jesus Christ personally. You need to do that. You need to get connected. And Father, I want to thank you that you've promised to provide everything that we need to live and to serve you. If we will put our trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, I pray for the people who would take that first step. Maybe you've never taken that first step. You can't know, you don't know for sure that you have ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let me encourage you to pray this prayer. It's up there on the board behind me here. Dear God, I want a relationship with you. Forgive my sins. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross as the payment for my sins so that I could have a personal relationship with you. Thank you that Jesus arose from the dead and is alive today to help me to live for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And dear Father, for those who have prayed that prayer for the first time, I pray that you will confirm in their hearts that you are theirs and they are yours. That what they have asked, you will do. May they know that beyond any doubt, dear Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.